Welcome. Winning at life. This is your daily wrap. Yeah, we're wrapping up your money today. We're helping in the markets. And gosh, other things you need to know. Want to win with that money. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. This is Live Talk Radio, 504-260-0995 to join the conversation.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Yeah, so Trump was actually in New Orleans today. And a couple things to note about that. He did his regular stop when he's walking to the helicopter that takes him to the airplane, that takes him to wherever he's going. He likes to stop off and talk to the gaggle of reporters. And I think it's because he's been doing this so much. They're getting a lot better at filtering out, using the noise reduction filters on that background noise. And it's getting pretty listenable. But can I just start with something that kind of warms your heart and makes you proud? I don't care who the president is. If it had been Obama, if it had been Trump, if it had been anybody in my lifetime, I would have a similar reaction. I just want to start with this little clip right here.
I want to really thank everybody here, and I want to congratulate a very, very good and exciting football team that I watched yesterday, the New Orleans Saints. You know, I can see there's a little group over here. I know who I'm talking to. The rest of the room's going like, yeah, I don't want to talk about that. But you have to say Drew Brees, he's one hell of a quarterback, and that was a tremendous game. And so congratulations to the folks from this area and from this great state. It's a great state.
Yeah, so he said that at the convention center, at the Farmers Bureau Convention. So that's pretty cool. We're all pretty excited about the weekend. Just thought I'd share that. It's not even financial. Just wanted to start the show on like a happy note. I know everyone's in a good mood because we all saw the game and we're all talking about it today. And I don't mean to get in front of my skis here, but it looks like they're going to win the Super Bowl, Gregory. I'm just going to, I'll call it right now. Who's going to beat them? Anyway, that's it. Any response to that? Because I know you were at work all day and you didn't get to hang out watching Fox Business. And I was just chopping up audio from Saturday's show for most of the day. But there's your president in our own backyard.
Well, I agree with you on the Super Bowl. I'd kind of made that call even before the game was played yesterday. That's just the way I felt it's going to go down. But I'll take it a step further. Who's the opponent against the Saints in the Super Bowl? I think it's Kansas City, so I'll call that. Saints over Kansas City in the Super Bowl.
That's bold. I like that. All right, now something we did over the weekend that we got an amazing response on is we've been talking about the max funding strategies for people who have money and they're looking to create some tax-free income with their investments, because that's the big bite, or one of the big bites is taxes, and how can you get around that? And people showed a little bit of interest, Gregory, when you had an offer for them on Saturday.
Yeah, the book. Look, we talk about Roths as well into this mix, but you know, when you can create tax efficiency, have some portion of your money that you're taking as distributions and it not be taxed. So we can do that with non-qualified assets. You can do it with qualified assets. You know, some of the cases when people are saying, well, I don't want to have to take RMDs. You know, how about instead of putting that where it's taxable distributions, how about create it to where it not only is taken off the RMD table, so to speak, but it can be turned into tax-free income. So kind of open the door on that a little further is that, yeah, I've offered to send out a book on that topic. It's real easy to request that. And then from a standpoint of my daytime job as a financial advisor, money manager, we could have a further conversation. So just to make it simple, just simply call the office, ask for the book, email as well, text, use the Winning at Life app. You can download it and simply text or email us from the app. And just what we're looking for, just give us your email address. We're going to mail you the book. So it's not, you're not getting it as a PDF and your phone number to make sure it gets to you. Just simply request the book.
Now I saw the book. It's not huge. It's bigger than a pamphlet, but smaller than a novel. And one of the things that is sort of discouraging is when someone recommends I read a book and it's 800 pages. And this one's not that. What was it, like 130, 160 pages?
Yeah.
So it's a decent sized book, not a huge book, but there's just a lot of stuff that we can't cover in an hour. And if we relayed all the information that's in this book over the radio show, half the people would turn it off because it would be pretty dry. So this is the way around that. If you're looking for the deeper, under the surface sort of level of financial planning, a little more guidance there, this is, Gregory's found a way to work around it. It's a free book. So info@gregoryricks.com was the most popular option for people asking over the weekend, but you can call the office, text, email, from the app, all kinds of ways.
Yeah, the office number is 504-832-9200. And like James said, info@gregoryricks.com. And if you've downloaded the app, there's a few ways to reach there also. And just, we'll get it out to you in a couple of days.
All right. So after we did all that, there was a guy who must have just chimed in on the last 30 seconds of that conversation. And he called on Saturday's show. Let me just squeeze this in here real quick. James in Bay St. Louis.
Okay.
I was wondering how to get the book. You know, y'all were talking about the guy setting up being able to get the tax-free income because, you know, I know I have a tax problem. But how do you
get the book? We all do because we always owe taxes.
Yeah, you're singing my
every
song,
year.
James.
How about having a portion of your income? Look, I've got some clients that actually have worked it out to where they're essentially not paying any tax in retirement. One of them's on a six-figure income. But what you need to do is have it at least in the mix of your multiple streams of income. I'd like to have two or three of my sources of income to be tax-free. So starting the conversation is, I've got a bunch of these books, and I want you and other listeners to take advantage of that it's going to be free to you. I absorb that. No big deal. I got a pretty sweet deal on this from a friend of mine. And just email me info@gregoryricks.com.
That's it. All right. So that was a nice little second coverage of it from Saturday's show. But the reason I played that is the quote in there. I know I have a tax problem. When people come in and they say that, what are they talking about? Because that sounds awfully vague to me, but I imagine you have a pretty good grasp on what he means specifically.
Well, they're just paying a lot in taxes. You know, it's progressive tax. More you make, the more you pay. Percentage increases. We don't have a flat tax in this country. We have a progressive tax system. And if, look, under the law, if you can save some, you have the full right to do so. If there's some strategies that help reduce that burden, or you can take a block of income and a block of money and turn it into a stream of income. And that's one thing we've had an emphasis on last year and into this year is multiple streams of income. And should all of it be taxable income? No, it shouldn't be. Some of it should. Can you do more? Higher percentage? Like I mentioned, and they've got clients that aren't taxed on their income at all because of how it has been put together. What I'd like to see, and part of why am I doing this, is to help get the word out. You know, start a conversation, read a book. Let's talk more about that. Not a long read, but yeah, tax-free income.
And that's got to be painful because so many people, when they're setting up their retirement plans and they look at their assets and they're like, I should be able to draw this out of there. You've come in with story after story where people are pretty disappointed because they were expecting their gross number, not a net number. And the net is after taxes. And so if you want to generate, you know, $50,000 in income to sort of maintain your lifestyle, you're actually going to have to net that. Maybe get 70, 80, depending on what your tax setup is. And yeah, how much easier does it get when there's not a tax concern chewing up some of that?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of that with required minimum distributions, all of the sudden changing tax brackets, or we sit down and do income planning on the guided planning system and see that down the road there is a shift that all of a sudden they're jumping up in higher tax brackets because of RMDs. So are they necessarily netting more income? Some cases not, because of all of a sudden a little bit more having to be taken out shifts the tax bracket and lowers their net income. So when we're talking about planning, this is down the road money. We're not taking money and turning it into tax-free tomorrow, but it's a part of accumulating assets and putting it in position when you turn on distributions that you're taking it as an untaxed income stream.
Well, we're in a weird sweet spot because this is the time to do it. We just got a tax break. The balance of power has flipped in D.C. The new party that's controlling the purse strings, every single person that's already announced for president has announced it with a tax increase behind it. So while it may not happen in the next 2 years, there's going to be a bunch of people who are campaigning on a tax increase. You know, not on you or me, just the evil wealthy people out there.
Well, the way it's set, the way we look at it is it's an 8-year window right now, because these tax breaks we were given automatically go back to what they were in 8 years if we don't have a Congress and president combined that can make that permanent. If it's made permanent, it makes it more difficult to change, because once again, it takes Congress, both House and the Senate, and a president sign off to change it. Can it change? Yeah. And what are we expecting? Just looking at our debt levels, what's called, you know, this government shutdown is over taxes and spending. So we're expecting spending to continue to increase, over $1 trillion in deficit spending this year is expected. So how's that going to be paid? Well, sometime down the road, we have to bring in more revenue. So you can expect taxes to go up. So how would you like to opt out some of your future income to that? Call and ask for the book. Office number is 504-832-9200. If you're wanting to come in and have a conversation about it, you can do so as well. But to get it, to email us your address and such, to mail it to you, is info@gregoryricks.com, and utilize the Winning at Life app to reach out.
I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
What was it, James, they called it? What, they didn't call it debt. I'd sent James an article, kind of the socialist look at deficit spending.
Via CNN, yeah.
And they don't look at it as debt spending. I don't remember. We might have to talk about that on one of the upcoming
shows. Well, because you silly rubes in Dumbistan, flyover country, don't understand the difference between the national debt and the annual deficit, and it makes all the difference in the world. And it's, no, not really. It was just a beautiful symphony of rhetorical garbage to explain why, no, all this debt and all this deficit spending, this isn't going to hurt us in the long run. This is fine. Let's do another $32 trillion program on top of it. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, that spending's not an issue. Well, from okay, then what's the problem with the wall? That's chump change if the concept of deficit spending, you know, deficits don't matter, then what's the deal here? If you can give everybody a base income, we can give everybody free insurance, we can give everybody a free education, then what's the problem with the wall? It's on, you know, he's only asking for $5.7 billion from that case. What is all this other? We're talking about trillions there on this other. It just kind of like confused me. I'll tell you another thing.
Hang on, we didn't do it. You're Gregory Ricks, Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. I'm James Parker's co-host as a financial talk show. If you have a financial question, 504-260-0995.
Yeah, I didn't plan to go that far with this take on that, but also gave me another take, and I don't know. I'll bounce this off of you on there because I hadn't mentioned this to you, but I was thinking about, you know, the people coming across the border, you know, and just like the CNN guy we saw on a clip kind of saying, you know, he's standing by a wall there and he said, well, I don't see any border problem here. There's no emergency. Well, yeah, because you're standing where the wall is. No, it's not a problem there. But okay, so we got, you know, all these people, I don't know where they all went and there's more come, but it's a steady stream. I don't know, a lot come every year. But what I notice is when they were showing clips on the news last night, you know, they're in tents, you know.
Where did the tents come from? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay.
But they're living in tents and all, you know, and you go around cities this country, and we're not going to camping grounds where the Boy Scouts and such do that, or hunters go camping, or fishermen, you know, when I was a kid, would go camping.
Yes, these are urban, out on the, these are urban outdoor enthusiasts.
Yeah. So, excuse me. What we see in the city camping is homeless people, along with all their belongings and a grocery cart they borrowed somewhere. So, okay, these people coming across the border, they have no plan, no job, don't have a visa, so they can't get work. So how are these people? And they have no plan for it because they're not coming through in the system, like getting a work visa to come over here and work and following the program. So what we're doing is letting in unlimited amount of homeless people. Do they have a home?
Technically, yeah. You're right. They definitely don't have a home.
I think I'm 100% right because they're not bringing a home with them. They don't have a job. If they had a plan and means and connections on this side, they'd have a high probability of getting a visa to come in and go to work. They'd have a number, a green card, and all that stuff so they can plug into the system and contribute and pay taxes. Even socialists think spending's not a problem, so I don't know why socialists think we should collect taxes. So from that part, I kind of say, well, socialism is bad if I don't have to pay taxes, but the economy will go to hell. Look at Venezuela on that. So this isn't my talk about that. I don't think socialism works. In fact, I kind of have proof over history. With that said, I think the people coming across are homeless people that are coming here, and they will arrive here homeless as well. So what are we doing for them? I don't know, but obviously we're doing stuff for them, but then we don't take care of the homeless here. I think charity starts at home. Wouldn't you agree, James?
Absolutely. So. But I also think, look, for the people making the rules, none of this affects them. If we were importing 4,000 new congressional candidates, they would probably want to, you know, put a little stem in that tide. But there's all kinds of little financial quirks that are happening around this story.
So that was just an observation I made.
I agree.
At some point yesterday, I don't remember where it was. I remember I watched, only football I watched was second half of the Saints game. So it was obviously somewhere before that.
Look, I got the solution, and it's a 30-second solution. If I'm in charge of the world, here's our new immigration policy. Everyone in the world takes an IQ test that wants to come here, and we just rank them number one, number two, number three. And for every illegal immigrant that we kick out, the next person from the top of the list comes in. So that way we have a net neutral amount of immigration. So you can't say I'm anti-immigrant, right? Is that too easy? And we'll cut it off at like an IQ of 140. Anybody at 140 IQ?
Yeah, I think it's too simple in that case.
Okay. Well, that's why you're the expert here. So it's RMD season.
Required minimum distributions?
Yes, and so there's a few people who are really under the gun here, and they're in this little grace period that lasts until, what is it? Is it the beginning of March or beginning of April? It's beginning of April, isn't it? For your first one, if you turn 70 and a half.
The required beginning date is April 1st, following the year in which you turn 70 and a half. So what you have is kind of you got a 90-day grace period if you didn't take it during the year that you turned 70 and a half. That's the only year you get to have the 90-day grace on. That is the very first year that you have to take required minimum distributions. After that, so that year in which you can wait till April 1st, you also, during that calendar year, have to take the RMD for that year as well.
Okay, so the people under the gun are the people who have an IRA or a 401k, and they turn 70 and a half in 2018, just that whole calendar year. Did I get that correct? I mean, 20 and a half, 70 and a half.
It's when you turn 70 and a half.
Okay.
So that's basically July through the end of the year carries you into 2019 where you turn 70 and a half. So if you turn 70 and a half January through June.
So if you turn 70 on the back half of the year, then you're clear until this time next year, or you could do it this year. You're not facing the April 1st deadline.
Yeah. If your birthday's in the front half of the year is what I meant. Front half, January to June, you're turning 70 and a half in that year because you turn you're aging 6 months older in the back half of the year. So that's the same year that you turn 70, you turn 70 and a half. You have your required minimum distribution start anytime that you turn 70 and a half in that year. So an example of that, yeah, is 2018, you've turned 70 and a half. You should have taken a required minimum distribution in 2018 if you turned 70 and a half any month of that year. If you didn't, you have till April 1st, which is the technical required beginning date in 2019. But you're also going to have to take one. So if you didn't take it in 2018, now you're taking it in the first quarter of 2019. You still have to take the required minimum distribution for the year 2019. So if you waited, you're taking two in that year because you don't get that 90-day deferral or grace. So thereafter the first year, you're having to take it each calendar year.
Yeah, we hear about people missing them all the time. The penalty for it is pretty punitive. But the other people that seem to miss required minimum distributions is for people that had an IRA or 401k or an account that they had to take RMDs on and they passed away last year. A lot of times the people who were handling the state, I guess it really doesn't happen that much. It's kind of a rare occurrence, but when it does happen, it hurts. They'll miss the required minimum distribution and they'll be hit with the penalty. And it's the only exercise in the legal system where I see a 50% penalty. I mean, that's such a high rate that it adds up super quick. So not only do you have to take the money out that you were supposed to take from the RMD, you can't pay the penalty out of that. You have to take more money out of the account to satisfy the penalty on the missed RMD. So it's pretty complicated. It's a whole mess of problems, but that's what Gregory's here for. So RMD season is underway, or the late RMD season. So once you get on a regular schedule, though, this isn't really the time of year most people take their RMDs. I guess some people like to spread it out, but a lot of people that take the lump sum wait till toward the back half of the year.
You have to take it this year. It doesn't matter when you take it, especially like, okay, well, I turned 70, and let's just say use 2019. You have a birthday, and you end up turning 70 and a half in December. You don't have to wait to December till you turn. If you're turning 70 and a half a year, you can take it tomorrow, your RMD. You don't have to wait to the 70 and a half. It's going to happen because the IRS says you have to take it this year. We want to see the money so we can tax you.
All right. Any questions? 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Do not hide the wine. Don't kill the mood. What do you think? You like the mood?
The show's better with a glass of wine.
Yeah.
We did a study on that.
Pop a cork, have some wine. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. That's James Parker. This is Live Financial Talk Radio. We're going to cover a couple of comments from our Saturday show that was emailed in. If you're wanting to ask some questions about your money, Social Security, that variable annuity, that managed money, that 401k, these markets, gosh, there's so many things to talk about. The two things I'm going to actually go over with you is, they emailed us, info@Gregory, with a question, and then another one. See, this one was from the app. Well, I'll start with this one. Lou.
Hey, Lou.
Listener over in Houston. And kind of a sad email. He said, I'm getting a divorce, and my wife says I need to start Social Security. Currently, I would receive approximately $2,600 a month. She's entitled to 50%. She is saying that I would still get that amount, and she would get $1,300. This is confusing me, and I will be 66 next week. So we believe his FRA is 66 is what we'll go by here without knowing his exact birthday. So just him pointing, I'll be 66 next week. So we're assuming that's his FRA, full retirement age. So he's getting a divorce. Now, being that they're married, she can't start spousal benefits until he turns his on. And there's no file and suspend. Filing, suspending, way you used to could turn on spousal benefits and not take your own benefits. So they're getting a divorce, which means they're not divorced. So for her to draw those benefits, she does need him, in fact, to turn on that benefit so he can, so she can start drawing her spousal benefit, the $1,300 a month. And heck, she probably needs it. They're getting a divorce. I'll add the other part is where she said, what, she would get $1,300 and that would not affect his $2,600. And she is right. It will not affect his benefit in any way, a spouse drawing the spousal benefit. And it could be an ex-spouse or multiple of them, is not going to affect his $2,600 a month. But you can't game it either. You can't say, well, I'm going to turn it on, start it, and you can start your benefits, then I'm going to turn it back off. Well, if you do that, it turns hers off as well. So let's flip to this. Well, what if they were already divorced? Because they needed to have been married for 10 years and they've been married more than 10 years. She could draw spousal benefits from a divorced spouse once that spouse, being that they are divorced, are eligible to turn on their own Social Security benefits. So basically that he's reached FRA. So he's, from that standpoint, if he's eligible for benefits, she could turn it on. But in this case, you kind of say, well, why worry about it? Just not turn, you know, just her apply for the benefits after the divorce. Well, there's a little catch right there, a hoop to jump through. They have to be divorced for 2 years. So if he doesn't do this far and she can't turn it on, she has to wait 2 years after the divorce, and then she could turn on the spousal benefit.
I guess that's to prevent people from gaming it.
Yeah.
So when me and Miss Parker get to that age, I'm like, here, we'll get a divorce on paper, but I'll go ahead and.
Yeah, because it's a workaround on the system that you're not having to turn on your benefit, but she could turn it on because you've gotten a divorce. So to game that, you'd have to actually get a divorce 2 years ahead of where you're wanting to do that.
So is the final advice on Lou, hey, don't worry about this, just turn on Social Security whenever you want and she'll deal with it?
Well, it is his benefit to turn on, and if he's wanting to defer and increase the 8%, here's where I think it comes down, because, you know, divorce, settling of the assets is a negotiation. This part could well be part of that. I don't know, but that's probably where it gets discussed. She's wanting something. He might want something. You know, it's a negotiation. Where are they going to find the middle? Yeah, I'll turn it on, but I want this from you. That's where I think it goes, but she can't do anything if he don't make the decision. So, but it's just, it's a little bit more information because and there's reasons. It's the, you know, they're avoiding the workarounds. Social Security's a step ahead of some of you that are trying to game it.
All right. I want to review. Can I go back to a call that we had on Saturday's show? I got this one whittled down to 2.5 minutes. All right. This is the difference between the windfall elimination provision and a government offset. Jeff Hammond, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Jeff?
If you could explain to me what the difference between a government pension offset and the windfall elimination provision is.
Well, most of what I always talk about is the windfall elimination provision. The windfall elimination provision can affect how we calculate your retirement or disability benefit. If you work for an employer who doesn't withhold Social Security, typically it's a government entity or an employer in another country. Any retirement or disability pension you get from that work can reduce your Social Security benefits.
Now, as far as the offset, is that you were talking about that like right before Christmas? That's where they a pension will lay up a little bit of money in the gap between when you retire and when you turn on Social Security, or when you reach 62 when you qualify for early Social Security or something like that?
It has to do with when you receive a pension, a pension from a government entity such as the federal government, it reduces your Social Security as you have income from an outside source in addition to your government employment.
Yeah, government pension offset. Here's how Social Security describes it. If you receive a retirement or disability pension from a federal, state, or local government based on your work for which you didn't pay Social Security taxes, we may reduce your Social Security, spouses, or widows' benefits. And that's not so different. That's actually when we cover, it's kind of part B of the windfall elimination provision, because the windfall elimination provision is directly affecting your benefit on your work record. But what it does play over, it becomes a part of the government offset effects. You're not getting that spousal benefit, or it's going to be reduced. So it's like the windfall elimination is the A, and the government offset is the B of that equation. Like
spouses and widows.
Yeah. So okay. They've got, you know, you can get a document from ssa.gov called the government pension offset. And the other document that I generally guide people to is the windfall elimination provision.
So what was that other offset I was thinking about? We did a show about it, and that was like a pension offset or something where they tried to fill in a little bit of a gap until you turn on your Social Security. I was way off. Part of the reason I want to review is because when I was saying that, you're kind of doing the no with your head, saying no, and people can't see that. it's nice to have a chance to clean up my mistake there.
Yeah, that's funny. Where were you going with that?
There was a show, and the term offset was used, but clearly the adjectives that came before it made all the difference. I was thinking of the pension, when they lay up a little bonus if you're going to retire at 60. They'll give you a couple extra bucks a month until you're eligible to turn on Social Security.
Some companies, when you retire prior to age 62, call it early retirement, they have a Social Security offset, meaning they'll start paying you Social Security until you turn 62, where you're eligible to turn it on. And then that extra they were paying on top of the pension stops once you reach age 62.
So I had the wrong offset.
That's totally different one. But it wasn't bad thinking there, picking up on that, because that is something that people have to make decisions on that work for. Just an example, some Fortune 500 companies.
If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at life. How's your money doing? Are you winning with it? Is it growing? I know. Market's probably taking some back. You know, it does that. It goes up and down. You know, we like the long term of it going up, but it's called volatility. And this era, this past 18 years, is different from the previous 80. Yeah. Volatility. You make some and then you're going to give some back. It's how you think about that. How do you prevent that? How do you stop that from affecting you as much as others are affected? We have strategies. We're going to talk about it at my event on Wednesday. We might be full, but you can get on the list. I've got more events coming up. Call the office, 504-832-9200 if you would like more information about attending our wine, wisdom, and food event on Wednesday. It's $10 to attend. We're going to match it and donate it to charity. Bring your spouse. So call the office if you want some more about that. Hey, if you like tax-free income, or you think you might like tax-free income in the future, then you should call and say, hey, I want that book that Gregory's talking about. You can email us info@gregoryricks.com, or once again, call the office 504-832-9200 and ask for that book and say, turn me on to how I can build more tax-free income. Is there a way to get to zero? There is. Let's have a conversation. Let's see. What are we doing? Okay. If you want to, we've got 9.5 minutes left in this segment, left on this show tonight. We do this every night. 7 p.m. is called the weekly wrap. Saturday, we're having like an extravaganza. 10 to 1, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We do 3 hours of live radio as well. The app gets you some podcast access, links to streaming on, so you could look at, you know, if you like looking at TV on your computer or your iPad, you can be watching the show on Periscope, which it's uses your Twitter, connect, what, at Gregory Ricks.
Yeah. Periscope is just the Facebook Live of Twitter.
Yeah.
It's the video stream.
And part. We're also on Facebook Live. So, go like our Winning at Life page as well.
Well, look, we're not going to like all the comments over here, 'cause we have Jordan saying, "Go Rams" with 3 exclamation points on it. And I'm not so sure that I agree with that sentiment coming up this weekend. Go Rams. No, sir. No.
He can be Go Rams if he wants to. It's,
and I can disagree with him.
And you can say Go Saints.
I can dislike that comment. In fact, I did the little angry emoji on it.
All right. So back to our other Social Security question that was sent in to us. Earl. It doesn't say where Earl's from, so out there in email land, I'll put it that way. He's retired at 62 and started collecting Social Security and 2 pensions. His wife did the same at 62 with only Social Security. She returned to work at 68, so 6 years later, she went back to work and is still employed as of this date. She is still collecting Social Security, but apparently is still required to pay Social Security from her current salary. Well, that's pretty normal. If you're drawing W-2 wages, Social Security is going to be withheld regardless of your age. So she's still required to pay Social Security from her current salary, effectively reducing her benefits bottom line by paying back into the system. No, she's not paying her Social Security check back. She's not over that income test. In 2018, it was $17,040. And if you started making that back, so for every $2 over it, they take $1 back. But it's not a penalty, but it kind of is, but you don't lose it. They give that back to you later. It's built back into, put back into your bank. What she's doing is banking Social Security from her salary. Now, I know he can look at it a different way, and that's fine, his right to do so. But mm-hmm. She's paying in Social Security based upon her salary. And here's what's happening. She's getting credit. She's banking that. And look, she's obviously put in a lot of years in working if she went back to work at 68 and still working. So he doesn't say how long she's been back working. However, she's still working, and it's based on your top 35 years averaged is what the benefits are based upon. So she's gaining more because she's worked, because she could have earlier years drop off. So she is building credits. And if these are better years, meaning more Social Security wages in there, she's improving her Social Security. So she's still going to see that tick up. And probably will see the final adjustment the year after she stops working. And he goes on to ask here, when she retires from her current position, will her benefits increase or are we stuck here? Well, it depends on those top 35 years. They could possibly increase because you are banking that. It's just, are you increasing the average? And they said, we know that waiting until 66 would have produced higher benefits, but our situation at the time allowed us to start collecting pensions and Social Security earlier, which benefited us by allowing us to eliminate much debt much earlier, thereby reducing interest obligations with extra income. Yeah, she would be able to get more if she had waited to FRA or continued to defer while she's working and get another 8% credit each year. But you're just going to have to see how this plays out. But there are calculators at socialsecurity.gov, SSA.gov, that you could plug into and see how these numbers will work for you.
And you'll get a piddling little COLA increase every once in a while to go along with it. But it's not going to be anything huge, right? I mean, probably not.
Yeah, I think it's tick ups because it's averaging over the 35. And honestly, he's probably they may well be replacing the early years back in the day when there wasn't a much income. But that formula is also inflation adjusted as well.
Tomorrow, you're accepting the first appointment at the new North Shore office. You want to brag on that a little bit? I mean, we've mentioned it here and there, but surprised we're not having like a grand opening party. I'm pretty excited about it.
Well, we've got so much going on, and headquarters is in Metairie, but what is it? 4030B Lonesome Road in Mandeville is where the new office is opening up. I don't have that phone number yet for that office, but you just call the Metairie office if you're on the North Shore and want an appointment up there. You don't have to come to Metairie to see us now. We are having office hours up there in Mandeville. The office number is 504-832-9200 for that. And just tell them you want a meeting there. We'll make it happen.
Tell you what, as far as the location for that office goes, if you were looking for a place with the best restaurants in like a 3-mile radius, that's it.
It is kind of a destination area, isn't it?
Right. So, you know, there's probably someone like lives somewhere up in, say, Macomb. They're like, oh, I don't want to drive all the way to New Orleans, but I will drive all the way to the North Shore. However, is there any good place to stop and maybe get some food before or after? Yeah, right there. Fantastic. It's amazing. But I'm pretty excited about that. You got Biloxi. We're working on that one still. Any updates there?
I think it's about 6 weeks out on that one opening. It's going to be on Lorraine Cowan Road there. You know, when you're driving down the interstate and look to the right and kind of see when you see the Lorraine exit, it's the big old power plants right there.
Yep.
It's about a mile down that road towards the water, but still nowhere near the water.
So that's basically on the border there between Gulfport and Biloxi.
Yeah, sometimes I call it the Biloxi office or the Gulfport office. It's just kind of right there where the boundaries are, kind of. So we're excited about that as well. So that allows people over there that's been listening to the show for years to have access to us easily.
Yeah, and we are kind of busy. You have your next live event on Wednesday. We already mentioned that earlier, but still, if you want to see if we can squeeze you in here, maybe someone will cancel when we do some confirmation calls tomorrow. Call the office, 504-832-9200.
Hey, if you want to get on the movement, we're starting a movement here, building tax-free income.
I like
that. I'm glad I came up with it. Join the movement. We're going to create tax-free income. If you want to know more about that and just to start delving into that and getting that you can do it, have some of your income tax-free, I have a book for you. Just simply call the office, 504-832-9200, and tell them, hey, send me a copy of the book. They'll take your information. You can email info@GregoryRicks or reach out to us through the app.
You know, the response was huge over the weekend. We might be running out of books.
We've got a bunch of response today.
Might have to buy
it as well. They were still responding on Sunday. It's a movement, man. It's a movement.
Good. An anti-tax movement. I love it. All right, you're home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. Go there. You can catch all our shows live, even when we're interrupted by sports or whatever, and you can listen to all our podcasts, contact Gregory in his office. It's a great app and it's absolutely free. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is for educational and entertainment purposes only and does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Strategies for the private use of our audience. Find podcasts and contact info in the Winning at Life app and winningatlife.com. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.